Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. 24 and a half more minutes of the program left today on this Thursday. Tim, Fred, and Ray, and now we're joined by Steve Paisley Jordahl. Good morning, Brother Steve.
Good morning, everybody.
So what's the lead story here?
Well, we could talk about a number of things, but let's go to Bill Clinton, our former president, who was talking about the possibility of a woman president. You know, they were all hopeful, the Democrats were, that they were going to have their first woman president a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
Didn't work out that well for them. But Bill Clinton seems to think that it's going to happen fairly soon. And I want you to listen to what he thinks is how this woman or what this woman's going to be like. Listen to cut nine.
I think all these cultural battles we're fighting make it harder in some ways for a woman to win.
So you think it has more to do with party than gender?
No. Although I think it would probably be easier for a conservative Republican woman to win.
Why would he say that, Fred?
I think it's admission. It's an admission by former President Bill Clinton that Republicans are right on the issues of transgenderism, on the issues of, and connected to that, of allowing boys to play on girls' sports teams. People are fed up with that. People are fed up with DEI in general. You know, that somebody gets a job just because of a certain quality they have, physical quality they have, versus whether they're the most qualified person to get the job, all of those things. And I think he's looking at the election results, and he is seeing the that basically this country is still a center-right country. I think that, and I think it has to do with border security, but I think the transgender thing really got a lot of even so-called moderates upset.
Yeah.
Because moderates have daughters who play soccer.
Yeah.
And play sports, and they don't want a guy beating up on their daughter.
Yeah.
He's just being practical. Bill Clinton's being practical.
Right. Are you surprised at that?
Yeah, I was, but he's right. Because the Republicans, at this moment in history, we are the pro-family party. The Republicans are the ones who are for moms and dads, and they are for, as Fred said, they're for protecting our daughters. They're against the lunacy of the transgender movement. And for what it's worth, my two cents is, I think he's right. We probably are going to have a woman president at some point, and I think it's much more likely to come from the Republicans than from the Democrats.
I agree with everything that's been said. I think we turned a corner here with this election. There's a whole new, I don't want to use the word zeitgeist, but there's a whole new feeling in this country. And the woke is going away. We're going to hear somebody's hanging on with that to a thread in a second. But I also wanted to let you know, I wanted to read this with the Bill Clinton story. He was asked about Kamala Harris. This is what he said. I thought I needed to say something about it, and I wanted to be as helpful as I could to let her turn the page. I think she should be given a chance to build a life that is about her and her the future, and not, you know, being whiplashed into an old story. And then he says, I live with that all the time.
Gee, what is he referring to?
Yeah, well, listen, Kamala Harris she was a bad candidate.
Mm-hmm.
For president. She was maybe a good candidate to be senator of a state so liberal as California, but she was a bad candidate to put out there nationally for the Democrats. And, you know, they lost because of it. That's one of the main reasons that they lost, that she was such a bad candidate. What they come and now, it'll be interesting to see who emerges as leaders of the Democrat Party, because, you know, a lot of finger pointing inside.
I'll tell you, the first move they made is encouraging for Republicans, but doesn't look hopeful for them, because they reelected and put every single congressional leader back into their their old slots. I mean, they didn't change Democrat leaders at
all.
Yeah,
that's the way that works, though. It's senior. I mean, you know, nobody's going to replace Chuck Schumer until Chuck Schumer steps down. It works that way on both sides, quite frankly. But anyway, we'll see. Keep your eye on the governor of Pennsylvania.
Josh Shapiro.
Hey, keep your eye on him. He's an up-and-coming star in the Democrat Party. Now, he is Jewish, and there's a lot of anti-Semitism right now in the Democrat Party, too. So I don't know how that dynamic will play. But he won a state election in Pennsylvania. You know, as a Jewish man, the Democrat side. So we'll see what happens there. But he's the only one that I could see. Well, Gretchen Whitmer, maybe a possibility, the governor of Michigan. You know, I'm trying to help him out here, Fred.
She's going
to
have
players on the field.
She's going to have to pull off a Kamala Harris when it says, well, I've changed my mind. Because Whitmer has to change her mind on a whole bunch of stuff.
Yeah.
Before she's going to be considered. If anything, the Democrats have learned that this country is not as left-wing as they think it is.
Yeah. All right, well, we'll see what happens here. They haven't hired me to help as a consultant to try to find them new leaders, but
I think they're going to go with Senator John Kennedy of Louisiana. The Democrats will call him.
Yeah, well, you can. We've had one John Kennedy. Why not do another one?
Have another. That's right.
I call him the Mark Twain of the Senate.
Yeah.
Right there.
He's precious.
We need to have him on.
He really is.
Go ahead, Steve. What's your next story?
All right. We were talking about the DEI stuff.
What's DEI for those who don't know?
Diversity, equity, and inclusion. And it's the woke philosophy that says that everybody needs to have equal outcomes. And so if you're...
Identity politics.
And the Democrats and those who take this, they've taken victimization. This is what identity politics does. You have a hierarchy of victims. So if you're... black, you have a certain number of victim points. If you're black and you're gay, then you have more victim points. If you're black, gay, and a woman, then you have even more.
Wow.
And they can stack those up, and so the people at the top of the totem pole, you can't come against them. But it's a religion with them. They cling to this bitterly. And I want to play you an example. Texas Representative Jasmine Crockett was in a committee meeting, and they're considering a bill. This is a House Oversight Committee. It's called Dismantle DEI Act, and it would seek to, according to Yahoo News, it would seek to weaken diversity, equity, and inclusion initiatives in the federal government. And she listened to her rant, and tell me if you think that maybe
and before you do that, excuse me. Okay, just the setting here, this congresswoman from Texas is in a committee hearing, as you say, and she keeps looking around, and I think she's directing her ranting at white males?
At the white men on the Republican side of the aisle, in that room, yeah, specifically.
She's angry at them for trying to get rid of this DEI
yes.
funding, right?
Right.
So she's angry at them, so that's the context of what you're about to hear, right?
It is. And but when you listen to this, tell me if you don't think that maybe she's a little confused and that she thinks that maybe she was brought over on the slave ships in the day, 10.
There has been no oppression for the white man in this country. You tell me which white men were dragged out of their homes. You tell me which one of them got dragged all the way across an ocean and told that you are going to go and work. We are going to steal your wives. We are going to rape your wives. That didn't happen. That is oppression. We didn't ask to be here. We not the same migrants that y'all constantly come up against. We didn't run away from home. We were stolen. So, yeah, we are going to sit here and be offended when you want to sit here and act like and don't let it escape you that it is white men on this side of the aisle telling us, people of color on this side of the aisle, that y'all are the ones being oppressed, that y'all are the ones that are being harmed. That's not the definition of oppression. You tell me the prolonged, cruel, or
that's
unjust
enough.
Treatment.
Okay, so that's it. Anyway, you talk about living in the past. How about living in the past centuries? She's going back to the 1700s or the 1700s. And she's saying her plight is the, is this what I'm understanding? She's saying because her ancestors were brought here as slaves that you need DEI today. Is that what she's saying?
The history of racism in this country, this is their words, has a profound impact down the generations, even till now. This is a woman who was elected to Congress and who was making law for everybody in her state, white, black,
it hasn't stopped her.
Hispanic. No, this is my point. Yeah, it's a religion with
this
them.
This is a crutch. This is has the history of America, one of the more shameful parts of our history is slavery of African Americans, and we all know that story, right? And then the lack of civil rights and equal rights that the black Americans experienced up into the 60s. You know, some people listening right now remember back to those days. So that was very real. We're 2024, okay? Oprah Winfrey's the richest woman in the world. She's a black lady who has and this lady talking here is an African-American woman from Texas. She's a United States Congresswoman.
Mm-hmm.
We've had an African-American president twice elected by white people. So what she's talking about, yeah, there's a history of slavery and racism and lack of civil rights and bigotry. But that's how many years ago? You're talking about many, many decades ago when that was prominent in our country. That no longer exists on any kind of acceptable scale or measurable scale in any institution in our country. So our schools have been integrated for decades and decades. Our black folks and white folks basically get along. They get along well until somebody comes and stirs something up and say, hey, you shouldn't get along with these white people or you shouldn't get along with these black people. So
can I add something to what you're saying?
Yeah, add something, Steve.
And Ray, I'd like your thoughts on this too. We talk about slavery and Jim Crow and all those being a stain on our country and we need to recognize it. Can I submit to you that the Civil War and the civil rights fight that white people helped in the South are part of our greatest triumph, that along with the shame of slavery, we should take pride in the fact that we were the first country to abolish it. And to,
yeah. Oh, yeah.
I mean, because that's, you
that's
can't
our,
say
That's
that.
Our history, too.
Right?
You know,
right?
The good, bad, and the ugly. Go ahead.
It's true. There's a stain in American history, which Tim, you just talked about, and Steve, we all know it. We see it. Okay. Has the stain been completely erased? No, there are effects that are passed down through the generations. But we can thank God two things are true, that after the Civil War, the Union was preserved and slavery came to an end. Did the end of the Civil War provide full civil rights to blacks across the South? No, it didn't. Took another 100 years. Took some hard time, hard lessons learned, but we can look around here in America. Well, I'm old enough to remember. Now, it's vague, but it's from my childhood growing up in a small town in Alabama. I'm old enough to remember restrooms for whites, restrooms for blacks, water fountain here, water fountain there, elevator for the whites, and this elevator for the blacks. I can remember that. But that's a long time ago, and thank God that is gone. And I think most Americans of good heart and good faith, and I think most Americans do have good hearts on this. Yes, is there ground still to be covered in the area of freedom of opportunity for all Americans? Yes, there's still ground to be gained. But my friends, we have come a long, long way.
Yeah. Next story, Steve.
All right. Donald Trump is a businessman, as we know. He's doing an unusual transition of power. You know, we've been talking about him. His picks for his new administration are coming fast and furious. He's flooding the zone. In the Washington Post, they had an op-ed that I had not heard this term used to the Trump transition, but it fits. Trump is doing a hostile takeover of the government. He has yet to collaborate with the General Services Administration, which is the government agency that's supposed to help transition these things. He has not let the Defense Department or anybody listen into his phone calls with foreign leaders. He refuses to do that. He is coming in. He's cleaning house. It is indeed a hostile takeover of the government in business terms.
Well, listen, President Biden invited President-elect Trump to the White House. You have a transition of power taking place. President Trump is now getting security briefings on a daily basis. That is normal, and that's the way it's supposed to work so that we can have a transition, a smooth transition of power in January, right?
Yep.
So I think everything's – so what do you – I think everything's working pretty well as it should from what I can understand. I haven't heard any complaints from President Trump about, people being – or his administration not receiving
That's in the Washington Post?
It is.
Okay. Doesn't surprise me.
I think it's accurate. I like the fact that is
But in the context of the Washington Post, hostile means evil.
Well,
all right. Trump is a businessman. He wants to hit the ground running on Inauguration Day. You will see a lot of executive orders. Biden's executive orders will be gone. Then President Trump will issue his own executive orders. Amongst them, going to be, we're going to start rebuilding the wall again, all of those things. So, yeah, if you call that hostile, hostile in the sense that he's busy, yes. Hostile in the sense that he's doing something wrong, no.
Right, right. All right, next story.
Well, the hostility is going both ways. We're hearing from Fox News that the FBI director and the Homeland Security director, that would be Alejandro Mayorkas, the DHS, and Christopher Wray, FBI director, are refusing to sit down with Congress and give a year-end report. They've been called into committee hearing, and they say to the Republicans, we're not coming this time.
Well, I was reading that story. Did they say, though, we're talking about the FBI director,
yep,
Wray, and Mayorkas, the
Homeland Security.
Did they say they would testify behind closed doors, though, in a classified?
They said what they had to share would probably be better said behind in classified. But this is the thing. Every year, this is what the Congress does. It brings them in to give a public accounting of what happened. It's like a year-end test. And obviously,
are they not going to do it?
No.
Okay.
Well, I don't know if they're going to do the classified briefing. But they're not going to do the public briefing that they do every year to kind of
say, well, they need to be compelled to. You're a public servant, and now if you want to get up there and testify before Congress and say to the congressman who asked a question, sir, I would rather answer that in a private setting instead of talk about that publicly, that's an acceptable answer given the sensitivity of our national security. But you can't just avoid I don't think you should be allowed to avoid a public appearance before the committee, and you can say what you want to or not say what you want to.
Right.
But
you hear that all the time,
but
right?
You're saying they're saying
we're not going to, because there's tons of stuff that they did that isn't classified that the Congress
right.
might want to talk about.
I don't think you should be able to. You're a public servant. You're getting paid by the tax dollars, and you're accountable to the Congress, who are the people's representatives. You can't just say that's what Lois Lerner did back right. the whim of that 15 years ago, whatever, during
yes.
the IRS.
Uh-huh.
And she was a director, and she was basically proven to be or accused of discriminating against conservative groups who wanted a nonprofit status. And
yeah.
and she didn't testify. Remember,
she pled the fifth. She has the record, I think, of pleading the fifth in one hearing.
And to me, I'm going, wait a minute. You're a public servant of the people over an agency. You can't plead the fifth to a congressional hearing.
But that's what she did.
Yeah.
Hey, listen, these two, they're going to be out of a job in about 6 weeks. They know that.
Yeah.
And I think they're afraid for a public hearing because, for instance, Alejandro Mayorkas will be asked the question, you, sir, told us under oath that the border was secure. Let me show you some videos.
Right.
To prove you were lying to the American people.
Right.
They don't want that. When it comes to Christopher Wray, we want to ask you how you treated that pro-life person
in
Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
Why did you send 20 FBI agents heavily armed to his house?
Yeah.
You know, they don't want
but,
to be held
accountable. You can't stand the heat, get out of the kitchen. Mm-hmm. Heat, get out of the kitchen. So that you shouldn't be in charge of these agencies if you aren't able to take tough questions from the Congress.
Yes. Yep.
We're about out of time, Steve. We got about 3 or 4 minutes here.
Okay. Yesterday we talked about a Pennsylvania election official. Her name is Diane Ellis Marseglia, and she's in charge of Bucks County. They're still counting votes, and they want to count illegal votes. The Pennsylvania Supreme Court says, no, you can't. But she said yesterday she really didn't care what the Supreme Court said. This is what we played yesterday. Cut 12.
Not going to second that, mostly because I think we all know that precedent by a court doesn't matter anymore in this country, and people violate laws anytime they want. So for me, if I violate this law, it's because I want a court to pay attention to it.
Well, she got a lot of heat from the community. And so at a regularly scheduled meeting last night, she said this, cut 12. I'm sorry, 13.
So to the citizens I serve, I apologize, and I will continue to work hard for you and endeavor to not make such a mistake again. I will also clarify one more thing. When I inartfully spoke and used the word precedent when I was talking about provisional ballots, I was referring to the United States Supreme Court and the precedent that has been lost on many issues, including Roe versus Wade. Unfortunately, I took my frustration out on the Pennsylvania Supreme Court, many of whom are friends of mine and who I respect and whose decisions are complicated and difficult and important.
Mm-hmm. She is an election.
She's head of the County Board of Commissioners. They're in charge of
elections.
She's
making the most of her 15 minutes, isn't she?
Yes.
Good night. Most of those people are nerds who don't say much. But she was the one who said, I don't have to obey the law.
Yeah.
And she got rebuked by the Supreme Court of Pennsylvania and the Democrat governor.
Yes.
And so, the citizens of her county.
Anyway.
All right. We can end on some good news. Ellen DeGeneres and her partner, Portia de Rossi, are now in England. They have moved, and they say they're never coming back.
I don't believe
it. We just keep winning and winning in this election.
I don't believe that. That's what Cher said last time. Remember that? Remember all those celebrities who were going to move when Trump was elected in 2016?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well,
now only about – you don't have near as many of them who threatened that this time. I think they probably saw Trump might win, and he did. But you're saying Ellen DeGeneres is following through and moving.
She has moved.
All right, you watch – mark my word. These people who said they're leaving, they may leave for a few months, and then they're going to be back.
Yeah, but are you tired of the winning yet?
Anyway, all right, Ray, thank you.
Thank you, Tim.
And thanks to Fred and to Steve and to Chris. Adam, our producer, Jan Markell joined us. And we thank you for listening to today's issues. We'll see you back here tomorrow for Trivia Friday.